Announcements today, except, as many of you know, perhaps all of you, that today is All Saints Sunday, All Saints Day, and we will be observing much of that theme in today's worship service, including a remembrance of many of our loved ones that have passed on this last year. As we enter November, I'll ask all of you to read this newsletter that comes out every month. Today is the official day where it's out, and I'll ask, among other things, to read my newsletter article because it has a congregational challenge in it, and I'd love to hear from a few of you regarding that challenge of thinking of Thanksgiving as Thanksliving in terms of what that might mean for a worship service later this month. So let me know. Remember many of the projects, just a couple I'll mention, Baby Boxes for Haiti, the Walter Ellis Harvest Festival would be for Thanksgiving, and several others. Check the Mayflower e-notes, read those again. Most, if not all, of those things are listed there as we continue to remember others during, especially, always I should say, but especially during the holiday season when the needs typically are much greater. Because of All Saints' observance today, our communion service has been put off until next week. So in the interest of time, we'll put that next week and give you one more week to gather your elements, and we'll share communion virtually and together. It's always a joy to greet all of you, whoever you are, wherever you are, and in the name of our Christ, we invite all of you to worship. Let us now worship.
We have separated ourselves for worship with an extra hour of rest. But this morning, we seek rest for our souls, rest from divisive, hateful rhetoric in much of the political discourse, rest from threats of violence, uncertainty about the election, and rest from how we are divided, even from our neighbors. But we gather today in the name of the one who draws us together, healing, restoring, uniting, and redeeming. And we remember the voices of all those redeemed who have gone before. In the Spirit of Christ, let us continue in worship. Please join me in prayer. Our gracious God and gentle Lord, we bring our souls forth to worship you today. We honor you and your work on earth by remembering the souls who have gone before us. We are inspired by their example and sacrifice. Let the presence of the Holy Spirit, who dwells within all of God's children, remind us of our unity to each other, to those who have come before, and also to you, God, who has sent us the one who has shown us the way of love. May we find inspiration in this hour of worship through music, prayer, and the spoken word, so that we may walk and live in the way of love. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Shepherd, lead us now in the paths of
Let us pray. O Lord, to whom can we turn when we feel anxious, fearful, or uncertain? We have the example of all those who've trodden this path before us and whom we remember today. But even in their remembrance, let us be reminded that as saints of God, they found their way and plotted their course by depending on the same God to whom we pray right now. So give us the assurance that the same resources that were available to them are available to us. Help us to persevere with the assurance that we do not have to know the future, to be able to trust our future to the God of the universe and also the God and captain of our souls. There are those who have suffered so much with the ravages of natural disaster, especially those in Louisiana who've had several hurricane strikes in just a couple of months. Help us not to forget their plight and the difficult road to recovery along with the wildfire victims and refugees in the West, those who are oppressed, forgotten about, or demeaned just because they are poor. And help us to never forget those who suffer the most from racial injustice, mass incarceration, and economic injustice. And Lord, we pray that you would be with our country during the anxiety of the upcoming election. May there be peace and safety at the polling places and all across our land, no matter what. Help us, O Lord. Be with those near and dear to us here in our Mayflower family of faith, Candy Bywater's son Joffrey and family who are struggling with COVID, Martha Woodward and family who lost Mary Jane, Martha's sister, and who went home to be with the Lord just this week. Carlene Bramall, who fell but is doing okay. The Potts, aunts, and relatives. And the family of Pastor Paul, Bob Pearson's neighbor, who died yesterday, a wonderful neighbor, but who died suddenly. And we pray for Bob as he grieves over the loss. And for Gail Sawyer, who is in urgent care right now with a nosebleed. Be with her, O Lord. For those and these and all of the other requests, private or overlooked, we pray. And now we pray together the prayer that Jesus has taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's gospel reading is Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. The following begins Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and is called the Beatitudes. These are not a recipe for successful living. They are the brand marks of true Christian community. Hear now these words. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. When he began to speak and taught them, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Thanks be to God.
I think every pastor feels before he stands at the holy desk that he or she would ask God for help. Let me do so just now. Lord, your word is a light and a lamp to our way, to our feet, to our path. May it be so in all of our hearts and in our lives. And may that light in our souls radiate to the world. Amen. It's always a joy to be here with the worship team. It's certainly great in the last several weeks to have Pastor Jacob and his lovely wife, Lily, who's with us again today after her absence last week, our music director, Barb Fuller, our musician today, Marcia Hacker, our wonderful accompanist who just happens to be my wife, and that's Deanne McCormick, and our incredible, talented worship production manager, Kim Finneson, and Lorraine Finneson, his wife, who always and very faithfully and skillfully coordinates the worship details that we present each week. Well, we gather today as a community of saints to remember another community of saints, those who have gone before. And even when I mention that, there are probably names and faces that come to your mind right now. And the scriptures remind us that we are surrounded by them as a great cloud of witnesses. In other words, those that have known the way and walked in it. Because these witnesses are saints, however, we not only remember, but we desire to emulate. All Saints' Day observance, of course, is far more of a tradition in the Catholic way than in the Protestant circles. The Roman Catholic Church has conferred sainthood with a capital S to over 10,000 individuals, most of whom are largely forgotten. And I actually saw, I didn't go through all 10,000, but I saw the list on the internet, and it was amazing. With the general understanding that a saint would be anyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, some are either naturally or officially singled out for having exemplified and lived and demonstrated superlative virtues and or heroic actions in the Christian life. In the Roman Catholic doctrine, the communion of saints is a spiritual union between those living on earth and the saints in heaven. It's probably a more well-defined idea and doctrine than we as Protestants have along this line. Nonetheless, in Catholic tradition, believers often call upon the saints, asking them to pray or intercede on their behalf to God in times of trouble or crisis. So those of us who are Protestants, if you know a Catholic friend, you might know a little more about why they do what they do. Now, there are several popular patron saints who fit the category of what are known as heavenly protectors or advocates, one of which is Saint Anne, mother of Mary and grandmother of Jesus. And it has just a little bit of a Michigan connection, because when the explorer Antoine de la Mothe Cadillac landed on a shore of a river in 1701 to found what is now known as the city of Detroit, he founded St. Anne de Detroit Parish, that is the second oldest continuously operating Catholic parish in all the U.S. St. Francis of Assisi, a name that many of us are familiar with, founder of the Franciscans, began his life loving fine clothes and parties, but spent time in prison and suffered an illness. He subsequently devoted his life to the poor, a decision that put him at odds with his father. He became known for his simple lifestyle and his love for all creation, including animals. And sometimes when he went to preach, there weren't very many people that would respond to his preaching, so he went out and preached of all things to the birds. And his name is often invoked in ceremonies of the blessing of the animals. St. Anthony of Padua was considered one of the church's great preachers. He too devoted his life to the poor and often drew crowds so large that he had to speak in the public square because people could not fit into churches. And since the 17th century, people have invoked his name for the recovery of lost things. St. Joseph, husband of Mary, is the patron saint of carpenters and laborers. Many Catholics swear by burying a St. Joseph statue, usually upside down, in their yard as a surefire trick to selling a home. So Gail would have probably been here this morning. I talked to Gail about that yesterday because her background is in the Catholic Church, and she talked about that with a little bit of humor, that one time it didn't work too well for her. Nonetheless, that's the tradition. And of course, St. Patrick is the patron saint of Ireland. As a teenager, he was captured by Irish marauders, sold, and then was kept for 6 years as a slave, herding livestock. He later became a bishop of Ireland and had a knack for missionary work. According to popular lore, he drove all the snakes from Ireland and used a shamrock as a visual to explain to people the three parts of the Trinity. And St. Michael is ranked among the highest of the angels. In Catholic writings, he battles Satan and is seen as a protector of Christians against the devil. He is a patron saint of police officers. And then, of course, there is St. Peter, a disciple who became what Catholics believe was the first pope. In the early church, he functioned as the chief witness for Jesus and defended the gospel before the legal courts. He, of course, was martyred, as far as we know, and is considered the rock on which the church was built, as Jesus told him. Other well-known saints have developed legendary status that transcends historical detail, like Saint Valentine, who is associated with courtly and romantic love, and is also a patron saint for those with epilepsy. And another is Saint Nicholas, who was an early church bishop of Greek descent and was born into a wealthy family. His parents died in a pandemic when Nicholas was very young. Then, obeying Jesus' command to sell what you own and give the money to the poor, he used his whole inheritance to assist the needy, the sick, and the suffering. As a bishop, he became known throughout the land for his generosity, his love of children, and his concern for sailors and ships. Many legends developed around him, and his name is, of course, associated with modern-day Santa Claus that we sometimes refer to as Saint Nick. I mention him because my birthday is on the day of when his feast is celebrated, December 6th. I just thought it was important to tell you that. Well, most saints are heroic, but most are not famous. I doubt if any of them set out to become a saint with a capital S. So here's a question. Are you a saint? Am I a saint? And how will you and I be remembered? And indeed, to follow the theme of our service and this sermon, the question is asked, what is a saint? I chose the lectionary text of the Beatitudes because these qualities best represent the saintly qualities Jesus identified in the earliest part of his ministry. There are two forms of verbs used in Matthew's Beatitudes, are and will. Each Beatitude begins with blessed are and for they will. The present tense indicates that these are expressions of what is already true about Christian people and Christian community. Of course, as the commentator suggests, not every member of every congregation can claim to be meek, merciful, and pure in heart. But the Beatitudes are addressed to the whole faith community as represented by the disciples to whom Jesus was speaking. Among every Christian congregation can be found persons of humility and meekness, ministers of mercy and workers for peace, some of whom will be specifically remembered today in our remembrance. Their presence among us is a sign of God's blessing and a call to all of us to conform our common life more and more to these kingdom values. The move to the future tense, for they will, indicates that the life of the kingdom must wait for ultimate validation until God finishes the new creation. The future tense resists all notion that Christianity is just a philosophy of life designed to make people successful, or a scheme to reduce stress, lose weight, advance a career, have a great love life, or preserve one from illness. Indeed, many of the saints we remember today, and those have been remembered through the ages by the church, suffered much and endured hardship for most or all of their lives, sometimes because of their faith. Instead, the Christian faith is a way of living based on the firm and sure hope that meekness is the way of God, that righteousness and peace will prevail, and that God's future will be a time of mercy and not cruelty. But I want to remind all of us, including myself, that God's future begins now. Jesus always reminds his followers that the kingdom of God is at hand and it is near. So hope is not just the anticipation of an ultimate redemption in a future life with God, but God's future is now. And I assume most of you, for just a moment here when we take a breath, like me, have already voted as we stand at a very tense moment in American history. But as believers, thinking about the Beatitudes and what it means to be people in a community of faith, I hope we will all vote with our lives, as well as the ballot box, the kingdom values that are not connected with any political party, economic philosophy, or a set of laws to advance one's religion. I hope we will vote for justice, love, compassion, hope, peace, and racial equality in our land. And I want you to pray for me as I go out to represent all of you in the peacemaking efforts of the kingdom of God. I have responded to a call by the Christian organization that I follow called Sojourners to put on a clerical collar. I've never done that before. I ordered it online. And stand near a polling place to be a presence for peace. And much of the day will be right across the street at Luton School. I will spend my time representing all of us as agents in the peacemaking kingdom work of God. Some of you, I know, are volunteering as poll workers. God be with our nation this week and especially in the weeks to come. Before I conclude today's message, I must reference a difference between the two biblical versions of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain that we find in Luke's gospel. There is one very important distinction. In Matthew, the first beatitude is framed as being poor in spirit. Certainly, our humility before God and others is a kingdom value. But Luke 6:20, where we find the Beatitudes as Luke lists them, does not include the word in spirit. Jesus simply says, "Blessed are you who are poor." This does not necessarily mean that raw poverty is in and of itself a virtue, nor does it mean that one who is poor automatically enters the kingdom of God. But Luke is clearly thinking of the materially poor and not just those who are poor in spirit. In the book that the women in our church are studying, called The Upside Down Kingdom, the author, Donald Crable, says this: "These poor are the little ones who shed tears of grief because they carry great pain. Poor peasants and beggars. They are in fact hungry, crying, and poor. But they are also lowly in spirit, on the edges, at the bottom of society. Their poverty includes both attitude and circumstance. The words of Jesus bring good news to them. Discarded on the human trash pile, they have not been trashed by God. Jesus is making it clear that the poor have God's unconditional welcome. It is easier for the poor to enter the kingdom because they aren't entangled in property and prestige. The outcasts, the sinners, the prostitutes, children, people who are homeless, publicans, can enter it more easily than the elite, the righteous, the haughty, and the pious." Donald Crable goes on, "Jesus celebrates the poor and afflicts the comfortable. In normal social life, we tend to do the opposite. We applaud superstars, celebrities, and wealthy barons. We shower them with prestigious positions, media attention, and access to political power." End quote. In Luke 16:15, when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, identifying them as lovers of money, he said, "God knows your hearts, and what is prized by humans, wealth, is an abomination in the sight of God." In Luke 16:22 and 23, Lazarus goes to be with Abraham while the rich man faces torment. In Luke 12:21, Jesus said, "Those who store up treasures on earth are not rich toward God." In Luke 12:30 and 31, Jesus said, "The nations of the world chase after possessions, but those who follow the kingdom strive instead for God's kingdom." And then in Luke 18 and 19, we read about a respected rich ruler who kept all the commandments, but abandoned the kingdom and clung to his wealth. Why, the little man, Zacchaeus, the hated tax collector, shares generously with all. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Store not up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven." Finally, in that same sermon, Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and wealth. You will be devoted to one and despise the other." Jesus constantly challenges the big three. He condemned power in politics, hypocrisy in religion, and the dangers in wealth as contrary to kingdom values. In that spirit, I'm very aware that the ability to bless is what Jesus exemplified when he gathered the disciples to teach and share what kingdom values are all about. It is a value very much lost in our society, the ability to bless. So, I would like, as your pastor, to bless you, living saints, yes, saints, who give generously and without undue need for recognition. I would thank and recognize all of you for your financial support, but also your faithful and generous support of prayer, work, and time. God bless you and us, Mayflower. In the early indications, we had an incredible response of increased support and incredible generosity towards storehouse giving, which was celebrated in its finality last week at Consecration Sunday. We shall overcome the pandemic, economic devastation, and racial unrest because we don't put our hope in a personality, a political party, or our own personal agenda, but in the kingdom of God, which is at hand. You shall be remembered as we remember others. you shall be blessed. In the name of our Christ, I offer a blessing to all of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, saints of God. And thanks be to God. Amen. And now let us pause to remember, reflect, and remind as we remember loved ones who have gone before. Carla Woodward's stepfather, Roger Block. Reverend Harry Bonney, Pastor Mark's uncle. Velma Brown, Eugene and Shirley Potts' close family friend. Troy Camburn, Roger Kennedy's former co-worker's son. Sheila Clark, Lorraine Finneson's former co-worker. Phyllis Comer, Lillian Swade's sister. Keith Cox, Ross Jones' cousin. Howard Dashner, Bob Gress and Darlene Wirt's cousin. Jim Eberts, Barb Fuller's cousin's husband. Kathy Florian, Darlene Wirt's very close friend. Pam Garland, Kim Finneson's high school friend. Troy Gordon, Bob Pearson's son-in-law. Don Green, Pastor Mark and Deanne's close friend. Joe Hacker, Tom Hacker's mother. Bill Hayden, Martha Woodward's brother. Nancy Keeney, Laura Anderson's daughter-in-law. Dorothy King, a former attendee here at Mayflower. Edward Leland, Shirley Potts' cousin. Kent Miller, Jan Holcomb's brother. Joanne Moore, Linda Riley's sister. Marty Phillips, Pastor Mark, Deanne's friend. Maxine Rice, longtime member. Warren Roost, Sue Mott's friend and former co-worker. Brenda Rose, Laura Anderson's daughter-in-law. Jack Rose, Laura Anderson's son. Marion Sawyer, Gail Sawyer's mom. Gary Shannon, Tom and Marcia Hacker's neighbor at Otsego Lake. Ann Cunningham Smith, Roger Kennedy's former co-worker. Montague Thocker, Quinn Tisdale's brother. Rose Thomas, Pastor Mark and Deanne's next-door neighbor. Mary Jane Wells, Martha Woodward's sister who died this week. Walter Williams, Shirley Potts' mother's cousin. Donald Young, Craig Young's father. Savannah, Bob Pearson's 16-year-old niece. All those who have died as a result of COVID-19. And all those who have died serving and protecting our country and neighborhoods, like those in the military, the Coast Guard, firefighters, police, and first responders. and one final bell tolling for other family and friends who have now passed. God bless us as we remember and as we are reminded of the cloud of witnesses that has charted the path that we are on. To God be the glory, and may God bring comfort to the grieving souls of those left behind. Amen.
It's hard to find role models in Hollywood, politics, and popular culture. Yet today, we are reminded of those who are too often forgotten, those who upheld saint-worthy traits of the kingdom. Today, we are also reminded of those folks, and also that we too have the resources to live out the values of God's kingdom. Go in peace. Amen.
Be with you.
Well, Barb, I really loved your choice of music this morning, especially when we think and remember all of the saints that have gone before, and that we can say together, I want to be one too. Let us be that in our lives and in our community as we say goodbye to all of you until next time and until we meet again. Goodbye.